Well, it's that time of year. Weeds everywhere. And weeds in our lawns, in our flower beds, and they're everywhere. There's lots of them. And my wife and I, we deal with weeds differently. She actually pulls them out from the root, and I like to use power tools, right? I get the weed eater out and I whack them off, and then they grow bigger down in underneath the dirt. But yeah, she pulls them out; they're completely gone. I think it's quicker and more manly, you know, to whack them off at the top, but that doesn't necessarily get rid of them. They grow back, and then, of course, I have to do it again. Many of our weeds here in Oregon, though, you know, we have weeds that are easy to identify, right? We've got the weeds that have the bigger leaves, and so the leaves, the weeds that are in the grass are easy to identify. And you'll understand what I'm saying in a few minutes as we get into this story. And also as we get into this story, weed killers, we have weed killers today. We spray, right? In fact, we have a weed killer that you can spray in grass. It only kills the bigger leaves, and it doesn't kill the grass. That's pretty impressive, pretty cool. In Jesus' time, I don't think they had that. And so in today's passage, Jesus tells us another parable, another story about gardening. And it's a little bit different than how you would approach gardening. And so today's passage is going to be in Matthew 13. And last week we were in one of the passages is Matthew 13, but it was the story of the four soils. And as you recall, the four soils were, I have a picture of four soils, which might help us. But some of the soils fell along the path. Some of the seed fell along the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. And then the sun came out and the plants were scorched and they withered because of they didn't have root. Other seed, the third seed, fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And then the fourth soil, where the seed fell on, was good soil. And it produced crop. It produced a crop that was, as Scripture says, 100-fold, 60-fold, and even 30-fold. So Jesus, we found out last week, was talking about people and their hearts. And I asked the question, is your heart soft? Is it ready? Is it tilled? You know, rototilling. Is it tilled? Is it soft and ready for God to speak to it, to help you to grow, to mature you into the person that He wants you to be? And so Jesus continues in Matthew 13 with some more parables. In fact, you could probably argue, but there's really about seven parables in Matthew 13. And we're going to look at one of them, but briefly address two of them along the way. But Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. Matthew calls it the kingdom of heaven. As well, and it's the same thing, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. And this second parable, Jesus shifts gears. Last week he talked about the good soil, and that our hearts need to be soft like the good soil. This week he is changing gears and talking about the good seed. In fact, in this story there are two different seeds. There's the good seed, and then there's the bad seed. And in this passage, we're going to look at Jesus does different type of gardening. He talks about different type of gardening. So let's look at that. Matthew 13, verse 24, which is the second parable in that passage. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and then tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." Now, I remember many times when my mom would say, "Go pull weeds." And she would also reward us with either money or candy. So we'd get something for however many weeds we'd pull or however long we would pull weeds. And it wasn't fun. Pulling weeds in a garden is not fun, or in a lawn or in a flower bed. But it is crucial in order for the plants to grow and not to be overtaken by the weeds. And it's also crucial if you get rid of the vines that are growing up around a tree, because it will suck the life out of a tree. But this is not what the farmer does. The farmer in this story says to the servants to wait to pull the weeds. And we ask the question, why? Well, because they may uproot the plant at the same time. He says to let them both grow up together. So Jesus describes the kingdom. He says it's like four soils. He says it's like wheat and weeds growing in a field together. He continues, and there's a little paragraph, and he talks about a mustard seed, and how small a mustard seed is, and it grows into this huge tree, and the birds come and perch on it. And then he continues and says another small little paragraph in there. He says the kingdom is like yeast, where a lady puts yeast into the flour, and it works its way through the flour, and it grows, and it makes this dough, and then it makes a loaf of bread. And so what I understand is that the kingdom of God is going to grow, right? That's simple. The kingdom of God is going to expand like the yeast. It's going to grow and expand. And so Jesus is telling his disciples, and he told them later on, after he had told them all these parables, he had showed them all these miracles, he had told them that he was going to die on the cross for their sins. They didn't believe him at first. And he told them things like, "You disciples, you people who follow me, believers, however you want to title us, Christians, little Christs, you will do greater things than Jesus." That's what he said. And he also told Peter that his name was the Rock. We're not talking about Johnson here, Rock, you know, the Rock. We're talking about Peter. That he was going to be the Rock, and Jesus said that he would build his church on that rock, and the gates of hell would not prevail. So the kingdom is growing. The kingdom is expanding. And interestingly enough, recently, the American Bible Society. As we heard in Iran, Bibles are being spread across the world in people's mailboxes. The American Bible Society did a survey in January and found, due to the pandemic, it has fueled spiritual hunger in America. In fact, 181 million Americans opened a Bible this last year, compared to 169 million who used a Bible occasionally. So they also said one in four have read the Bible more frequently in the past year. Now, if the pandemic and the state of this world has let you down and you're discouraged and depressed, I want to encourage you that God is doing His work, that the mustard seed is growing, that the yeast is being worked into the flour, and His kingdom will advance. And so another one of the things that they have seen is Youth for Christ has also seen a spike in sales for teen story Bibles and things like that. And so they are saying, this is what they said, and I agree with them, that this is a great opportunity for the church to connect with these Bible explorers and give them the message of hope. And so, church, this is a great point that we should be aware that the kingdom of God is expanding and is growing, and we can be a part of it. And so as you read this parable, you wonder, what does it mean? Well, the good thing is, some of the parables don't tell you what the meaning is, but this one does. Jesus actually explains this parable. In fact, the disciples didn't understand it at first. And the mustard seed, the disciples didn't ask for an explanation for that. Maybe they understood it. The yeast, they didn't ask Jesus about an explanation for that one. But they asked when they got into a house and they had this conversation with Jesus. They asked Jesus, what does the parable of the wheat and the weeds mean? And this is really cool because it's right there in verse 36. Chapter 13. And it says, then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. He answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. Okay, that's good. That makes sense. The field is the world. And the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one. The enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels? Yeah. Didn't know that, did you? As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will weed out of His kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let him hear. So first of all, are you listening? You have ears. Do you hear what He's saying? So Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. It's expanding. It's growing. He then says there is good seed in that field. And He also then says there's bad seed in that field. And we know that there's an end of the age. It will come. It is coming. Every day we get closer to it. And then there will be a harvest of people that believe in Jesus. And then there will be people who don't believe in Jesus. And they will be separated by the angels who are the harvesters. Evil and sin. This is really cool because if you are tired of evil and if you're tired of sin in our lives and in our world, it will be weeded out. No more. No more sin. No more evil. The sad part is that evil is connected to some people who don't believe, who don't choose to follow Jesus. And so the weeds, which are people who do evil, will be set aside in bundles to be thrown into the fire. And the fire in other scripture is described as a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a horrible place called hell. But then it says there'll be good seed that will be planted and will shine like the sun for the kingdom of their Father. And so in verse 37, a couple things we can break down here. Verse 37, it says the Son of Man will sow the good seed. The only way that we can be good seed is because of Jesus. Because of what Jesus did on the cross. He took our sins and He crucified them. And so if you think that you can be a good seed because of your works, you're kidding yourself. If you think that you can be a good seed because of your kindness, that's not what this is about. This is about Jesus being the one who creates this scenario where He plants us and makes us good seed, and He plants it into the field. And so we are good seed because of Jesus. He took our sins, He crucified them on the cross, and that's how we become good seed. And so this, just another thought that you need to take note of, that this is not talking about the church necessarily. That this is talking about the world. And there's evil in both, right? There's evil in the church and there's evil in the world. But there are certain ways to deal with evil and sin in the church versus in the world. For instance, Matthew 18:15 says, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between you two, between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. And so, that's for another day, but to identify that in this parable, Jesus is talking about the world. He's talking about the kingdom of God in the world, and that we, as people of His kingdom, are the good seed because of Jesus, and yet there's bad seed out there. We all know that. There's sin and there's evil. And so we deal with sinners differently inside the church as we do outside the church. And Jesus says not to pull the weeds. Right? He says not to pull the weeds. Don't pull the weeds. So how do we deal with evil in the world? Well, this is a big topic, right? I think some of us have tried, and it hasn't worked very well. So here are some of my thoughts, some of my takeaways. Don't judge a book by its cover. In fact, Billy Graham would say this phrase, he would say, when we get to heaven, probably going to be surprised at some of the people who will be there. I can guarantee that. If you ever heard the lead singer of Korn's testimony, Korn is a hard rock group, and yet he has come to know Jesus maybe a decade ago. Got all the tats. He's just, you know, piercings, hard-looking guy, and he's following Jesus. So, don't judge a book by its cover. Another thought is give people a chance. Don't write them off. The harvest will determine the good and the bad seeds. The parable said that the weeds would grow alongside the wheat. Now, the type of weeds that Jesus is most likely referring to is called darnel. And I have a picture of what darnel looks like. Darnel is very similar to wheat. Sometimes it's called false wheat. Because at the beginning of stages of growth, do we have that picture of darnel? So this is what it looks like on my left, on your left, the wheat is getting riper, and soon it will look different, but at this point it's the same looking as the darnel on the right. And so there's some reason why Jesus is saying don't pull it. In fact, some of the roots grow together. And when you pull it, what are you pulling? You're pulling the wheat with it. Some of what I read up on darnel, and darnel is poisonous. It can make someone dizzy and nauseated, like someone would be drunk. Interesting. And so what happens is the wheat matures and it gets ahead and it starts to bend over and it turns a different color. It turns a color of golden color or a light brown color. But darnel grows and turns black. Interesting. The good wheat turns golden, and darnel turns black. And in the end, the harvesters can pull the two and distinguish and be able to separate it. Now, we know that there are crops that have fruit that come out of it, and the healthy fruit leads to life, and the poisonous fruit leads to death. Jesus makes a point that we are not the harvesters of the or the judge of the harvest. But in Matthew 7, earlier on, Jesus says some things, and he says some things to us to watch out for. He says for us to watch out for false teachers. So it doesn't mean that we just are oblivious, but it does say that we need to watch out and look for false teachers. In Matthew 7, 16, 17, and 18, it says, "By their fruits you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and bad tree cannot bear good fruit." And so every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. So what Jesus is saying about the kingdom is to not be oblivious, to watch out, but to realize that you're not the harvester. So if God's part is plant the seed, to water the seed, to harvest the seed, what's our part? Three simple things that I want us to kind of take away this morning. Number one, do you want to be the good seed? Do you want to be the good seed that grows up and matures and then shines for Jesus and then be able to live for in his kingdom forever and ever? Right? That's the scenario. And in Scripture it says the simple thing is, the most simple thing how I can say it the best way is repent, believe, and follow Jesus. That's it. Repent, believe, and follow Jesus. And number two is, if you have done that, if you have repented and you have believed and you are following Jesus, then you are a good seed. And how are you supposed to be? Are you supposed to grow? Are you supposed to mature? Absolutely. And then we're supposed to shine for the Father. To go even further than that, in our context in the weeds in Oregon, we're all out in our gardens, at least some of us are, and we're weeding and we're pulling weeds. And yesterday, Susan's doing her thing. She's pulling weeds and I'm mowing. I'm using the power mowers and the weed eaters, right? But what happens is we pull weeds, and then we want to replace them with something, right? So in our lawns, the best thing to do is to spread some grass seed and to spread some fertilizer. And what happens when we do that? It actually starts to grow more grass and less weeds. And so, you know, analogies only go so far, but hopefully you're catching what I'm throwing down here in our context. And maybe Jesus wouldn't share that analogy or not. But my point is that we can be the good seed among the weeds in the world, and that's our part. Jesus makes us this good seed. He even matures us and teaches us, but we have to be willing, right? We have to be willing to let Him help us grow and water us. And so really the question is, are we willing? And so that gets us to the last point that I want to take away from this, and that is number three, we are then supposed to shine like stars. In fact, there's a verse about that, Philippians 4. You got to check this out. Philippians 2, verse 14 through 16. It says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. Whoa, wait, put the brakes on. I don't want to do that. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in what? A warped and crooked generation, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life, and then you will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. Pretty cool stuff. That's pretty cool. That we're supposed to shine like stars. Are you willing to shine like stars in the midst of a corrupt, perverted, dark world? They need it. They need Jesus' light. We can't isolate ourselves into this church building and say that we have nothing to do with that out there. Because Jesus came and said, the harvest is ripe. And He also said in Matthew 5, we are the salt of the earth. Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill, a church built on a hill, cannot be hidden. And what does salt do? It brings flavor. It draws out the flavor. It preserves. It makes the food better. So the kingdom of God is like that. You, if you have repented and believed, and are following Jesus, you are the kingdom of God. Or you are the good seed of the kingdom of God. And that's what the kingdom is like. Do you want to be a part of it? His kingdom will continue to grow and expand till one day there will be a harvest. Just like we will with hay in July and August. We will harvest. Wheat will be harvested. And so His kingdom will continue. May His kingdom come. May His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you want to be a part of it? Your choice to be a good seed because of Jesus, because you've repented and believed, or to be a bad seed. I think the good seed is the best choice. Let's pray. Well, Father, I just want to stop for a minute and thank you for your kingdom. I thank you for sending your son Jesus to come down and to bring your kingdom. So 2,000 years ago, your kingdom came down and it has continued to expand and grow and will continue. And so we pray for that. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would choose to be a part of your kingdom. We would choose to follow you. Lord, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you are doing. And that we would not ignore what you are doing, but to jump in headfirst into what you want to do in this town, in this city, in this state. Lord, there's so many dark things that we get afraid and leery and we want to hide. But Lord, I just pray that you would help us to remember that we are the salt, that we are your light, and may we reflect you in Jesus' name. And the church says, Amen.